This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's 4:27, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert, Derek Johnson in studio with me as well. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we will let you hear some of that KU audio. We also got your news break for Tuesday afternoon. Venturing in from the dangerous heats on the outside of this building, our good friend from the Lawrence Journal World, Matt Tate, in studio with us. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thank you for asking, and it is hot out there. What it also is the kind of day to listen to your show.
That's right.
And drive around,
mm-hmm.
and while you're driving here, to go, these guys, man, Derek and Nick are so compelling with this whole 7-Eleven Slurpee talk.
Yeah.
That I know we don't have 7-Eleven in Lawrence.
Right.
But I need to stop somewhere and fill up something with ice.
And you did.
And I did. And I'm so, and wow. I already had a Coke today, and I'm trying to wean myself off of it. But you too, both of you, got me. And you know, that's my excuse for today, and I need another one for tomorrow.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much too. You're not going to get that anywhere else.
No.
You're not going to get that kind of conversation happening anywhere
else.
Well,
listen, Dan Patrick show? No. He's not making me buy a Slurpee.
You know why? Because he doesn't have the balls to say what we're willing to say.
He doesn't care either. He doesn't care about me.
No.
You guys do.
All about
ratings. And that's why I'm here.
All about money.
God, I love being here.
We're here doing yeoman's work on Rock Chalk Sports
I also Talk. Love being here because it's been a little while, and I look to my right here on the floor, and I get to see this movie wheel.
That's right. You want your own wheel.
No, I don't. I love Matt Galloway and everything that he's about with this thing. And I mean, the Pulp Fiction thing recently, I was captivated by this whole the whole thing's a beautiful phenomenon.
Well, you know what? Everybody who sees that wheel, we had Brian Haney in. It was probably, what, a month ago, 2 months ago? It was around the Round Ball Classic. And he saw the wheel, and he was kind of like...
He wanted one.
He's kind of, you know, right, side-eyeing
right.
and going,
how could you not want one? Look at
everybody
that.
Everybody sees the wheel. Everybody wants the wheel. I think we should get a wheel for everybody we bring
Beautiful.
On. We only have like four or five guys that we bring on every week. You're one of them.
Beautiful.
I think you're deserving of a wheel.
So like my favorite Denver Bronco, we could just spin the wheel, and I could just...
do give us like a 25-minute recap of that guy's career.
Well, the whole premise with Matt Galloway is because he doesn't really know about movies. Like, he hasn't seen a lot of movies. So we have to find something that you don't really know a ton about or
haven't
done.
That's going to be hard. I know
so
maybe pretty much
so
everything.
Much. He has so much knowledge that it's going to be hard for us to find
well,
that.
And I'm glad you said that because I was wondering, like, you know, next thing I know, it's Matt's tweeting about it and you know, weeks or months ago, whatever, however long you've been doing it. And then it's a thing and then I hear he's got his own wheel and I'm like, where did this come from? But I get it now.
We've got like three more wheels in our promotions room.
They're ready.
And they hate that we take them and don't give them back.
Well,
but I mean,
what are you gonna do?
We're making good use
Yeoman's
of it.
Yeoman's work.
What is your weakness? What is your knowledge weak? What do you know nothing about? What when people are talking about stuff and you're in the room?
You know what I would really like to do more of, and I believe that this is a fail on my part, not the part of the University of Kansas that I attended, but I love when people can. In conversation, at a bar, at a party, at a formal event, whatever it is, I love when people can just quote philosophers or you know, drop in lines from poets. And
I don't love that, by the way. I think it's very pretentious.
It is. But I love it because I would love to be that guy.
You know, Confucius once said.
Right.
I'm so, like, oh.
You know, I feel like if, and this has always been something I believe, if you were not graded on testing in college or any education level, mm-hmm. any school level, if you were graded more on engagement, participation, attendance, I think you would learn more.
I like that.
Because I've got a great memory. I've been blessed with a good memory. It's helped me in my
job. Is it like photographic sort of
almost.
Really?
Borderline, yeah.
Are you serious?
I mean, I remember...
So like if I give you like a box score and give you like 20 seconds to look at it?
I can... So here's what I would do. If you asked me something, I would visually see it in my mind. And maybe I missed it, but that's how I would remember it.
You need to put that to better use.
I know.
I feel like that's like a $1 million gift.
I know.
John F. K. had a He had a photographic memory. What'd he do? Oh, he became president.
President, yada, yada. I mean, I'm the beat writer for KU basketball
in
Lawrence, Kansas.
Which is a great gig, by the way.
It is, it is.
But I'm talking about like Vegas. I'm talking about like global
Vegas
domination.
Is what you're talking about.
Sort of,
yeah.
Yes. Well, how have you not made millions off of this? Yeah,
a little thing called beverages that they hand out in Vegas. Your mind, your memory doesn't work as well when you're playing the card games and you, you know, enjoy a gin and tonic or two.
That's okay. Well, so. You said you love it when people quote philosophers. I don't love it. I think it's pretentious. And
it is.
I think that every time somebody does that, they just have that one quote. And they quote it at every party.
I love that answer. Well, and here's the deal. My uncle, who passed away a few years back, he was the most educated man and intellectual and intelligent and engaging. And he did this like on a regular basis. And it was not an act. It was not pretension. It was just him. And he was a New Yorker. He had the mustache and the thick accent. And he was, you know, it was awesome. He was he and my aunt started their own school in San Diego for learning disabled kids. And so education was big for them. And so they did that. And he would, you know, anytime I'd be like, I'm really struggling with this, you know, my boss or whatever it is, he would say, boom, and he'd go to some, you know, Descartes or something like that, and I'd be like, okay, thanks. I'll check out what Renee has to say, you know, and he'd give me a quote or a little flip book with quotes or whatever. And so, you know, I don't know that I could pull it off. My point is,
I like the Rene Descartes reference.
Thank
you. Just kind of slipped
threw that in there like it was
no
nothing.
Big deal. I know who Rene Descartes is.
I mean, he's a heck of an artist. Right?
I know that the S is silent on the end of Descartes. Not a big deal. Pronounce it properly.
I like it.
No, when people quote like philosophers, it reminds me of you seen Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon.
Of course.
And he's like calling that guy out in the
Beautiful.
Bar. He's like, you think you're wicked smart.
Oh,
you just recognize that one quote you learned in philosophy 470 and whatever.
Oh, he takes you through his whole mental process of why he delivered that quote and how he contradicted himself. And
then every time somebody does that, I want to recite that line.
You should learn that. That's simple.
It is.
Because, yeah, like
the Boston
once upon a time, I learned the rallying cry, the pep talk from the original Independence Day movie.
Really?
And
that seems like a weird speech to remember. Like some people would do the Al Pacino from Any Given Sunday or like the Rudy speech.
Right. Right.
You went for Independence Day.
It was killer. It was killer.
Who delivers that?
Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum?
Bill Pullman, maybe?
Rest in peace, by the way.
Is that who that was? I think it was, right?
Bill Paxton, right? Or is it?
Paxton died.
Okay, yes. I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Right.
R.I.P. Bill Paxton. Bill Pullman lives on.
Do you, Bill Pullman? Right.
Yeah, I think, was he in the last Independence Day, too?
Was he? Okay.
Have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
You don't really need
for
to.
For a guy who took the time to recognize an entire speech from an Independence Day, I figured
Good
you'd
evening.
Be lining up
Good
to
evening.
See the sequel.
No, sorry. I was going to start it, but I really don't. It's been a long time.
Anymore?
I don't remember it anymore.
That's too bad.
A lot's been going on in my brain since then.
Well, maybe we could do a philosopher's wheel, if that's what you
want
to do.
I don't want you to not be involved, though.
I don't feel like it would come over well.
Yeah, I want you to enjoy it, too.
You giving us 20-minute synopsis on this philosopher.
I would learn so much, though, right?
That's right. We're workshopping.
We'll think
How's
about
that
it.
Sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
We got Matt Tate in studio with us on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. I know you were just down at Allen Fieldhouse. Bill Self and a couple guys were talking to the media, departing for Italy shortly, as are you. Right?
Correct.
So you're going to be over there covering the whole thing.
3 weeks from yesterday, as a matter of fact.
You ever been?
I've never been, no. I was in Spain a couple of years ago, in France. Been to Thailand, as far as Thailand. So.
Oh, hey, what happens in Thailand stays in Thailand. We don't need to get into that.
The most beautiful part about having gone to Thailand is nowhere will ever seem far again.
Really?
Like a seven, eight hour flight from Washington to Rome sounds like a skip through Central Park to me. It just that 13-hour grinder from Minneapolis to Tokyo, I think it was, and then five hours from Tokyo to Bangkok.
People think like once you get to Asia, it's all right there.
Big place, big place.
It's a big world.
Yeah. So no, I'm pumped though. I got a lot of fun stuff planned. And the cool thing about that trip is, you know, Coach Self has said this. He said it today, too. This isn't a cutthroat event, you know, that like the World University Games was. They want to win. They want to go 4-0. But they're not going to go over there teeth gritting, you know, ready to step on the opponent's neck or anything like that. They're going over there as much to get some bonding time, to see the culture, to experience that, and you know, figure this team out. They've got a lot of new faces, and there's some important bonding that's going to take place over there. So I think it should be a pretty cool, laid back, enjoyable time. And I'm definitely excited to bring back some coverage.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that it's not as important to win as, say, it was for the university games? Because even beforehand, Self kind of alluded,
sure,
you know, we want to learn about the,
sure,
team, what we've got. But once they started playing games, it got highly,
sure,
competitive really, really quick.
I think with the World University Games, it was the USA part of that was,
right,
huge. I mean, this was, you know, talk about Independence Day speeches. He probably gave it before that championship game. You know, I mean, it was, you're even though the whole country wasn't really paying attention, you knew they would if mm-hmm, on the ticker there it flashes U.S. wins gold. And so that was important, I think. And also because, you know, they were playing a little bit more structured teams. Those teams were you know, really, really, I don't know what they're going to get over here. I mean, they're going to play some young teams. They're going to play some teams just thrown together.
Are they expected to? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea. I mean, Self has told me, and he said it again today, that he knows nothing about the opponents. So the cool thing is, as you saw probably in the release, that Gallinari, the former Nugget, current, mm-hmm, Clipper, his father is putting together the team that they'll play twice. And it doesn't mean it's going to be a bunch of NBA guys, you know, but it probably does mean that guy knows basketball. His kids played in the NBA, you know. So I would think that team will probably be pretty nice and put together a pretty good challenge. The young one, the 19, 20-year-olds, I don't know that one will be able to do that. You know, they'll be young, they'll be athletes, they'll be running,
yeah,
but I think the size, I don't expect any of those Italian teams to throw out somebody like Udoka Azubuki, you know.
I don't think any country can.
Right. So I think that'll be cool, but yeah, the whole thing is you know, Diedrich Lawson talked about it today, Malik Newman talked about it today. I mean, these guys are fired up. They're excited about Italy. But they're excited about playing, and they're excited about, you know, seeing what this team is all about. It's, I mean, Landon Lucas, Frank Mason, Josh Jackson. You take those three off of a team, it's a monster,
yeah,
hole. And somehow, and this is the way it is with Kansas basketball, somehow, you know, they're just taking it in stride. Like, oh, we'll figure it out. And they will. I mean,
yeah,
they will. They'll probably be a one seed. They'll probably win the Big 12. I mean, mm-hmm, it is what it is, and the beat goes on. But when you really break it down and look at it that way, that's three really impressive and important guys that you're asked to replace, and they're going to snap their fingers and do it.
Yeah, because we've had the same conversation
every
about different
year.
Guys every year. We
right.
go, how are they going to replace Perry Ellis? I mean,
right.
the consistency that he brought you every single year. How are they going to replace the Morris twins? How
right.
do you replace Sharon Collins?
Right.
And they just find a way.
Right.
You know, it's not always going to look exactly the same. It might not be quite as good as last year, but they just seem to have a knack to find a way to get the job done. And with this Italy trip, like you said, I don't think anybody really knows
yeah.
what level of competition it's going to be, but when it comes to trying to figure out what you want to take out of it, whether it's us from the outside or Bill Self internally, these guys,
sure.
like the biggest thing for me is whether or not, I mean, we're going to say it 1,000 times between now and the time they're done playing in Italy, that take it with a grain of salt. You know, they're going to be experimenting. They're going to have three guys playing who won't even play for them next year. But the biggest thing for me is whatever you think the timetable is for like reaching your ceiling throughout a season, because that's what college basketball has turned into. You reset the clock every year,
yep.
as opposed to, hey, this is going to be a 2 or 3 year process.
Yep.
Not at KU.
No.
It's almost brand new every single year. I just feel like it moves the clock up a little bit.
Perfectly said. Yeah, and Self said that today. I mean, he said, I don't know that this trip's going to win us a game in January or anything like that, but I do know that, you know, when we start in November, we're probably 2 weeks ahead of where we would be. And
right.
that's huge. Because as you know, I mean, they got Kentucky right out of the gate, you
mm-hmm.
know, and so a lot of times that game is kind of a feel yourself out and figure out who you are. And I mean, even Duke in the Garden this year was a little bit that way. Indiana and Honolulu was that way. It was not the same Kansas team that
yep.
we saw in March or February. So, you know, they'll probably still have a few of those growing pains, but this may eliminate a little bit of that.
It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. About a quarter till 5, I'm Nick Schwert with Derek Johnson. We'll have more with Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World coming up next.
This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
Quarter till 5, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. We got Matt Tate in studio with us for a little while longer. Derek Johnson in with me as well. I guess another aspect from just a pure entertainment standpoint is we talked about this last week about who you're most excited to see. And I think you kind of asked me the question, you know, is it one of the new guys? And I said, is it, you know, the Lawson brothers? Is it Malik Newman for the first time? Do you want to see how Udoka Azubuike looks, how healthy he's going to be, how fresh he's going to be? The guy I'm most excited to see is Devontae Graham.
Sure.
I want to know what this guy looks like running the show, being the man. He has never been anything better than the third option on this team.
Right.
And now you go not only to the number one option, but if we use last year as an indicator, a number one option on a in a guard-centered offense. Like, I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Well, yeah, and there's no shortage of pressure. I mean, he wouldn't tell you that, and he's not the kind of guy that feels pressure anyway, but everybody out there is like, well, he's going to do what Frank did. He's not.
Right.
I mean, he's just not. Like, there's a reason that Mason averaging 20 and 5 assists was the first time in Big 12 history that that's ever been done. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he did was special and phenomenal. So to say just so, you know, just matter-of-factly that Devontae's now going to be Frank. No, he's going to be Devontae. He's going to be a different Devontae, and I agree with you. I think that's exciting. I think the guy, in so many ways, was born for this role. He can handle anything. He loves the limelight. He loves the ball in his hands when the game is on the line. He loves leadership things. I mean, he's ready for this for sure. But it'll be interesting, especially when the real season rolls around, to see just how much of that striving and pushing to be Frank Mason plays into how fast he gets his feet under him and really becomes who he will be as mm-hmm. a senior. But I agree. I like that call. My first inkling was to say Malik.
I always got to be different.
Yeah, you do. And you're very good at it. You're very good at it. But a big reason for that is just because of what we've heard from coaches and Coach Self. And, I mean, they don't talk guys up like that. Usually.
Right.
And they've done nothing but do that with Malik about, you know, he should play at all an All-American level. He should lead us in scoring or certainly could.
And he's saying that before – I mean, yes, he's seen him in practice, but he's saying that without ever seeing him
right.
in an actual competition, right?
Yeah, that's big-time stuff. Yeah. And it doesn't get tossed around all the time from a guy like Bill Self. So that's exciting. That in and of itself brings you a little bit more of that, wow, I kind of want to see this. And you know, what we've seen in practice, what we've seen, you know, at late night or on his highlight tapes from AAU even or Mississippi State or whatever, this guy's a competitor, you know, and I think he'll bring something that Kansas doesn't have always in its guards. I mean, he wants to get you and he wants to shake you and then hit a jumper and watch you as you fall down and you know, he's got a little bit of that in him and I think that's exciting to not only see him and not only see Devontae Graham and how he is in the role that you're talking about, but then to see them together, because Frank and Devontae were so good, Batman and Robin, what a cool backcourt. I think this one has a chance to be even cooler just because of the personalities. I don't think either one of them will touch what Frank Mason did and certainly won't be Frank Mason. But, you know, instead of Batman and Robin, it might be, something more along the lines of like Will Ferrell and one of his running mates.
Ferrell and let's go with John C. Reilly from
Step
Brothers. There
you go. Nailed it. Step Brothers. I think we could build a whole thing around this.
Well, Talladega Nights, too.
There we go.
There you go.
Shake and bake. Didn't they? Well, you know, what's funny to me about that is that last year it was kind of a three-headed monster with Jackson in, and I think it is going to be more of two guys running the show. And, yeah, whether it's Svi or LeGerald or Udoka, somebody in the front court stepping up, any of those guys could have breakout seasons.
Yeah.
But to me, I can't be convinced that there's not going to be a significant drop-off in production after those two guys, and that's not to take anything away from those frontcourt guys. I think those guys are going to be that good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think both those guys are going to be around 16, 17, 18 points per game and kind of lead the charge between the two
of them. And the beauty of that is it brings into light just how deep this team is, because if they play 40 games, you've got Vic, who is that third guy for 6-7 games. You've got Udoka, who's that guy for another 7-10 games. Mm-hmm. You've got a guy like Billy Preston, Svi. They're that guy for 4-5 games. And so all of a sudden you piece that together over five guys, and now you've got a situation where these teams, these opponents, you know, okay, yeah, we've got to figure out some way to slow down Devontae and Malik Newman, but then we don't really know where we're going to get hit after that. It could be this guy. It could be that guy. It could be this guy. So that will make them tougher to prepare for sure, and a little less predictable. Because last year they had who they had, and that was it.
Right.
And they were really good. But, you know, you take Josh Jackson out of the lineup, and TCU beats you. That's not, you know, I don't think that'll happen this year.
Right.
I don't think that situation will be there, provided they're healthy the entire season and they have everybody at their disposal.
When they're not using, like, the Lawsons and Moore, because you're not going to be able to take much away from those lineups, at least
right.
for next year. But when they're using their complement of guys that they will have at their disposal, I'm interested to see in Italy how much small ball they play.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Svi or Vic can play the four. I would honestly, I know a lot of people are optimistic about it. I'm not, purely defensively. Can LeGerald Vic at 6'5 guard some power forwards in the Big 12? I don't think so.
No way. The 7-footer at Baylor, I mean, Josh Jackson's done a masterful job against him.
Oh, Luol Achule, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, nice job with the name there, too. That was sort of like my Descartes name.
I'm cultured. I can speak a little French. Au revoir. That's all I got.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. But yeah, I mean, you know, could they survive? Sure. But would it be as effective? No way.
Because offensively,
they can do it.
I think, and I know I'll get crushed for this, I think offensively, if they were able to play small ball, they could be even better than last year, purely because of the fact that if you have a lineup with, let's just say you've got Graham, Newman, Vic, and Svi.
Right, all four of them.
You have got a deadly shooting lineup. Now,
well, and
can they guard anyone?
At least, you know, two, three of those guys can put it on the ground, too. And, mm-hmm. and then you're kicking. And, you know, nobody's going to put the ball on the floor and drive the way Mason did.
Right.
That's the other thing. Devontae's not going to do it. Nobody's going to finish like he did. So you're losing a little there, but you're
and
right.
And you've got a wing who can handle the ball like a point guard in Jackson.
Yeah, right.
Vic or Svi.
Not quite.
They're not going to be able to do that.
Exactly. But you're right. Defensively, that's where it is. And, I mean, going back to April, you know, when I first started asking self about this in the offseason, you know, well, it was such a successful thing with those four guards. Are you gonna look to do this more? Are you going to recruit this way and tweak how you go after guys? And, you know, he has said from minute one and continues to say it through today, no, I think this season we're going to go back. We're going to be back to a more conventional lineup, two bigs, play there, play through that. Doesn't mean they won't do it from time to time.
Right.
Doesn't mean they won't feature those guards in what they do. But yeah, I think I think you're not going to get the same thing out of that at all. And that's because Josh Jackson was the number four pick in the draft. I mean, he said flat out, he said, yeah, if we can find another guy like Josh Jackson, I'd do it every year. But you're not going to find a guy like Josh Jackson every year. So it's a tough situation for sure.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I know you had a piece up, I think it was earlier today or yesterday, when you're talking about three guys who have stood out yourself.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was mentioned was Mitch Lightfoot.
Yep.
And he is one guy for me, and there's always one of these guys. Last year it was LeGerald Vick, this year it's Mitch Lightfoot, where it's impossible for me to put my finger on exactly what he's going to bring to the table,
right,
how he's going to be used. What is, you think, a conservative outlook for how he's utilized next year?
Great question. I'm a huge fan. I think you are, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love everything about him. I love his demeanor. I love his ability. I love his skill set. I love his drive and determination. I love his toughness. I mean, he's a great kid, and he's a great guy to have on any team. So I always have to kind of temper that, because I could sit there and say, he could do this, this, and this, you know.
My favorite quote from him last year was him saying, yeah, I know I could have went somewhere else and played right away, but I wanted to come to Kansas and work my butt off.
That's like, him in a nutshell. Exactly
that's
right.
That's going to endear you to Kansas.
Yeah,
fans,
for sure it will. And so, you know, conservatively, I think 15 minutes a game, you know, he's not going to be a big scorer, but you don't have to be. You know, you can get 8 points in a hurry just getting trash off the glass or catching lobs, and he can do both of those things. I know he's – I talked to him when he was back home in Arizona, and he said that he was really working on his outside shot. That was one thing that Self told him.
So huge.
Hey, we'd love it if you could stretch the floor a little bit because, you know, then you have that situation where you put him out there. He can guard a 6'8", 7-footer better than Vic or Svi or somebody like that. And then, you know, he's not going to knock down 45% of his shots, but if he can shoot an outside jumper with some – success and some regularity, then that's a little bit more of what we saw last year, even though no one would ever in their right mind compare Mitch Lightfoot to Josh Jackson. It's all about spacing and spots on the floor. So that's important. So, you know, I think if he gets the 15 minutes, could he score 6-8 and grab 6-8? I think he could. I mean, that, you know, that, and if you told me his averages were 7.1 and 5.9 rebounds, I'd say he had a great year. You know, and those
absolutely
aren't exciting numbers.
Yeah.
That's not going to blow anybody away. That's not going to be all Big 12, but it's exactly what this team would need. And I'll tell you even more with Lightfoot. I think the key is not so much what he can do, because he can do anything you ask. You know, and not athletically, not skill wise, but whatever you want him to do. If you want him to be your 10th man, he'll be your 10th man. If you want him to start, he'll start. If you want him to be a cheerleader on the bench, he'll do that. You know, he's selfless, and that's a cool trait to have. But I think more than what he can do is what can others do in front of him. Because if Billy Preston can harness his athletic ability, his body, his physical size and stature, and be what a number 10 player in the country is, and be a guy that they can count on and rely on to start, then I think Mitch Lightfoot is exactly where you want him. He's probably your first big off the bench, and he's in a sense that leader of that second unit.
Yeah.
And because he's already going to be the leader of the bigs, even though Udoka Azubuike's role will be much, much bigger. English is not his first language. He is not a you know, as boisterous and outgoing of a personality as Lightfoot is. And he's gotten better in that regard, but Lightfoot has that naturally. He's on guys. He's leading by example. He's yelling. He's barking. He did that last year. So he's ready to take that leap at the very least, regardless of what his numbers are. And I think if you're Kansas, you want him to be your sixth or seventh man, and just be really solid in that role. And then junior, senior year, you see, does it grow from there? It probably does. But right now, that's all you need from him.
If you want to take something to the bank every year, if you've got an incoming freshman big man that you're pegging to start, go ahead and start him on the bench.
For sure.
Because that's what's going to happen.
For sure.
Like, Mitch Lightfoot will probably, game one, he'll probably
Halloween
be your starting
night, power, that exhibition
forward.
Game even? Yeah, yep. Yeah, you know it. You know it. And that's Bill Self in a nutshell. That's one of the reasons that, as we talked about earlier, that you just continue to snap your fingers and say, well, they can replace those guys. They can replace those guys. It's because no one walks in here and is handed anything. You know, they all have to earn it. I don't care if you're Andrew Wiggins or Josh Jackson or you know, a walk-on like TN this year. You know, you have to earn everything you get. You have to earn your chance to be a walk-on. You have to earn the opportunity to be the, you know, the punching bag in practice. Even that is earned. So it's a cool deal. And Billy Preston, as much as anybody, Newman, Graham, all that stuff about how excited we are to see those guys, Billy Preston is without question the most intriguing player on this team.
I haven't heard much about him.
Right. And you just don't know. He's young. He's stubborn. He's talented. He's physical. He looks the part. He knows basketball, but sometimes that makes him hard to get through to a little bit, I think, because knowing basketball and knowing Kansas basketball are two totally different things.
Yeah.
And so he's done well, and he knows a lot about the game, and he's come in here, and he's obviously earned a chance to come here. But now that you're here, you got to do it their way. And so that tug of war of stubbornness sometimes is what...
Well, because I don't think those kids ever know what they're getting
into.
No way. I think they do.
For sure.
Like, Bill Self probably tells them, you know, I'm going to be tough on you. Yeah. I'm going to push you hard. And they're like, okay, yeah, sure. As you're sitting here on my couch eating my mom's food.
Sure.
Like,
well, yeah. And
then you get into practice, and then you start ripping you, and you don't know
like,
where to.
Oh, this is what he meant.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And Curtis Townsend told me that very thing about Billy Preston. He said, you know, I told him, coach is going to get on you, and I want to see how you react then. And Curtis said that Billy's answer to that was, that's what I need. That's why I'm coming there. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
But let's see it. You're getting called out in front of the whole team for not rotating properly. Right. Or worse, when the season rolls around and you don't do something right and you sit.
Yeah.
Because he will. He did it, you know, once Cheick Diallo was able to play. That guy could have helped every single game way more than he did.
Did it with Cliff Alexander the year before.
But they never knew what they were doing. They were lost. They looked confused. There's no time for that here. And that's okay. It's not their fault. It's not self's fault. It's just a reality of things. But that too is what reminds you of just how incredible Josh Jackson was, because he didn't show that from the jump. I mean, maybe a little bit with the emotions, but physically and skill wise and all that, he was ready to go day one and fit right in, and always, you know, played so much older than his years, although he was old for a freshman.
I think that one thing that makes, whether you want to talk about Billy Preston or Mitch Lightfoot or a guy we haven't even mentioned, Jack Whitman.
Yeah.
Any of those guys who are trying to start in that four spot, all I think they have to do, I think the guy who's going to end up playing the most minutes out of those three is going to be the guy who can stretch the floor and can play the best defense.
Sure.
Because whoever's in that position, you're not going to be asked to get 10 rebounds a game. Because you got Udoka Azubuike, who if he can play his full complement of minutes, he's going to be, you know, closing in on a double-double.
Right.
Almost every single night.
Yeah.
Go back to what KU's kind of become with Perry Ellis at the four, then having Josh Jackson. Like, Bill Self wants to do what they're doing in the NBA.
Right.
Whoever's playing at the four, stretch the floor, man.
Yep.
You don't need to get 10 boards a night. Stretch the floor. Just be where you're supposed to be on defense. Perry wasn't a great defender, but he knew what to do.
Yes.
He knew where to be.
Smart.
And he was he was a great offensive player.
Right.
None of those guys are going to be him offensively, but if you can stretch the floor, know where you're going to be on defense.
Sure.
You're going to be the guy at the
four
spot.
Yeah, that's what I love that about Lightfoot, because he will, without question, and I'm sure Whitman's the same way. I don't know him yet, you know, but I talked to him a couple of times on the phone, and he went to William & Mary, and he's a senior, you know.
Right.
I mean, the guy understands life a little bit, you know. So I don't know how well he shoots it, but Lightfoot, he does all of those things, and he will get it without question. That will be, again, the Preston angle of that is so intriguing, because he's got a good release on his jump shot. He's physically the part, you know, if he can mentally get there. And he will, you know. I mean, I think it's the same way every year, but by Christmas or so, you'll know. You'll know exactly if he's going to become this guy that really blows up, or if he's going to become a guy who you might think is, Cliff Alexander, Cheick Diallo, one of those guys. And I don't know. I don't know him enough either to be able to kind of wager yet which way I would lean him toward. But what I have seen of him is that he wants to learn. He wants to be good, and it's important to him, and it's important to all of them. But you give somebody that mindset with those physical tools, and you know, things usually work out pretty well. So I love your assessment, though. I think that's exactly right. And that speaks to the depth too, right? Because even if one of those guys doesn't emerge as just the clear-cut four-man, well, you've got 40 minutes and you divide it by those three.
Right.
And you're fine.
Exactly.
Neither one of them's overtaxed. Neither one of them has to have too much on his shoulders. Neither one of them is counted on too much. They're going to be the fifth option on the floor offensively every time they're out there, no matter which one they are. That's a pretty nice spot to be in. And that, as much as anything, in the backcourt and up front, is what's going to make this year's team so much different than last year's.
Yeah, I think they've got that depth up front. We'll see if they have the firepower. It's going to be largely on Udoka Azubuike's shoulders. 505, Rock Chalk Sports Talk. We went long, but had to do it, man.
It's always
fun.
To
get the great Matt Tate in studio, sometimes we don't play by the rules.
There you go.
Wait, when do you leave, man? When you head
July 31. So, yeah, 3 weeks from yesterday.
On the MLB trade deadline. So you're going to be missing out on all that news for whichever team it is that you root
for.
Yeah,
right. It's like the Honolulu trip. I took off, and the polls had opened for the election, and I landed like 46 hours later
kidding.
The polls were closing, and I went and got some fish tacos and a beer and watched the TV with my mouth wide open thinking, what happen while I was on that plane. I did not expect to see this, and you know, the rest was history. So I don't think it'll be quite as dramatic with the trade deadline.
And you're not getting any tears.
Maybe.
En route to Italy.
Right, exactly, right, yeah. But maybe Lorenzo Cain will be moved, or maybe he won't. Maybe they'll land, you know, David Price or something crazy. You haven't heard that one, have you?
No, I haven't. Wow. Breaking baseball news on his way out.
No.
Hey, thanks for coming by, man.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Enjoyed it.
He's Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World, KUSports.com. I'm Nick Schwartz. 2 hours down, one to go. We got to let you hear from Bill Self and Malik Newman. They spoke to the media earlier today. And your Tuesday news break. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.